Chase, white circle, shoots and scores! A shorthanded goal for Jonathan Toews.
Kubalik in front, he shoots and scores! Dominic Kubalik.
Side of the leaf line, right circle, shoots and scores!
Kane, he set it up for Carpenter to size, and he scores! Patrick Kane has 1,000 NHL points!
It's time for another episode of Blackhawks Crazy.
Presented by FanList.
Is this the game that gets Alex DeBrincat back on track?
Here's Kane, top left circle, shoot, he scores! In front of the net, I believe DeBrincat tapped it, and the Hawks have finally solved Pecorine in this hockey game.
Chris Bowden and Joe Brand break down the latest storylines surrounding your favorite Chicago hockey team.
The power play goal, he's standing in front of the net, but the breakaway in overtime, that's one where you're going, wow.
Picked off by Keith to DeBrincat, a breakaway in overtime for the win over the Predator line. Scores! The Cat! It's an overtime game-winning goal!
That's hockey, baby!
Here's Chris Bowden and Joe Brand.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to a fresh edition, a weekend edition of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast, a weekend emergency edition, if you will, because we finally have an answer on the Blackhawks goaltending mystery as they board a plane on Sunday for Edmonton for the beginning of the restructured NHL playoffs at long last. I'm Chris Bowden, your pre- and post-game host on WGN Radio. And yes, on the final day, the final of 11 practices over the course of 13 days in Blackhawks training camp part two as part of the return to play, we for the first time saw Corey Crawford partake in practice, and the great mystery around his absence was finally solved. And it was Corey himself who got on the Zoom call with reporters afterwards after participating not only in some drills, but also in a 20-minute scrimmage, the first of two 20-minute scrimmages with his Blackhawks teammates. He got on and explained that he, in fact, did come down with the coronavirus, and that is the reason this was the first time he was back on the practice ice with the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I just wanted to start off by saying I tested positive for COVID. So, I've had to quarantine in my place here in Chicago for the last few weeks. That was the case for my absence at camp, and excited to be back. I'm going to try and get into it as quick as possible and try and get that game shape back.
Corey, good to see you again. And just how tough have these last couple weeks been on you, just trying to get back and waiting, I assume, for everything to be all clear?
It was a lot tougher at the start. The first few days that I started feeling symptoms, that was the hardest. The last couple of weeks, maybe a little bit more, was a little bit easier. But I still couldn't really do much in case there was something wrong with my lungs or my heart. So we had to get that checked out first before I really started pushing in the gym or come on the ice. So all of that has been done. The doctors did a good job. I think we were safe enough about it where we didn't put anyone else at risk. And, I'm just excited to be back on the ice and seeing pucks again.
Hey, Corey, good to see you. How much time do you feel like you need to kind of get back up to game speed? And do you hope to be ready by game one?
Obviously there's not much time, but, I've never really been someone that skates a ton in the summer anyway. I feel like it takes a few practices just to get your legs under you. It doesn't really matter what you do in the gym, but today felt decent for the first time on the ice. And, I'm just going to try and build off of that. It was a good session with Jimmy, doing the goalie drills, pushing around the crease felt great. It's just, I think a little bit more, the cardio part, the endurance in the legs, after I get a few practices, that'll be a lot better.
Hey, Corey, I know people that they come down with COVID, that the symptoms seem to vary Did you know much about it? And I don't know if you can go talk about it all, kind of what you felt and how it affected you.
I mean, it's hard to say. A lot of people had different symptoms. I heard some stuff on the news, but, I was trying to stay as safe as possible with my family. We spent a lot of time at home, actually, and with two young kids, a new baby at home, and our two-year-old. So, we didn't really spend that much time out. So it was actually a really, really big surprise that that I tested positive. And, I was just, hoping to recover as quickly as possible. Hearing that some people, the symptoms could last for months, but it seemed to go by fairly quick with pretty much flu-like symptoms. And then, I mean, once those were gone, the bad ones, within a few days, it was more just trying to recover and get the 10 days. And we even went further than that, 2 weeks, just to make sure that, it was the safest thing.
Hi, Corey. Looking ahead to Edmonton, what are your thoughts about going there and being in the bubble, and how do you think the playoffs will go if you're ready in time?
It's definitely something different. I think just missing the crowd. Playoff hockey is it's all about having that crowd there and feeding off of them. That's part of the excitement, and that'll be pretty weird to adjust to at first. But still, I think once we get into those games, especially against a team like Edmonton, it's going to be some high pace hockey, and I think it's going to be exciting to watch for the fans. And we're trying to get as ready as we can right now to be good for that first game. And it's an exciting time. I think obviously it was a weird time for everyone in this country and in Canada and all over the world, obviously. But we're excited, I think, to get back to what we're used to doing.
Hi, Cor. It's good to see you doing well. I want to know how did you feel emotionally about going through this COVID ordeal, as well as having to be away from the team?
I think it was just a shock, and it's kind of a little bit of the unknown too, because as we just talked about, everyone kind of feels it a little bit differently. And I think there's still some people that had it, and months later, they're still, it's still kind of creeping back on them. So, that was a lot of things to think about for me and my wife. And, we just took it as it came. I mean, it was nice to get the worst part a few days later to start feeling like a little bit more energy, and the symptoms were dying down. So, after that, it was, I think it was just kind of checking the schedule and trying to figure out, like, how much time there was to really have a chance to get back. And, it kind of worked out that I was able to come back with some, maybe a week or so with practices, and hopefully I can get in the right shape and be able to see the puck well enough to be at the top of my game. And it's just a weird time to just stay at home and just wait and hopefully it passed quickly.
Hey, Corey, good to see you. I wanted to just ask, if you said it was a surprise that you got it, so was there any idea about how you got it? Did anybody you know get it or have it? And then, just, was it difficult to be, I guess, did you have to stay quarantined from your family, and how difficult was that?
It's almost impossible to know where I got it. It's really hard to say. when I first did get it, I was at home, obviously, with my family, and I stayed in the guest room for a little bit, you know, and until I started feeling the worst. It was feeling a little bit better. Then obviously had to wear a mask around the house, around the kids and stuff. And, you know, but it's hard too with a brand new baby with my wife and a 2-year-old. So, as soon as I had the energy to try and do stuff, you know, I was as cautious as possible, around the kids and around her. And, you know, we just, you know, tried to do our best to do with, what it was. And, so now I'm excited to get back to playing hockey. And, you know, it's, you know, hopefully, have enough time here, and I'm excited to stop some pucks again.
Corey, it's good to see you doing healthy. Having to stay away from the team for the last 2 weeks, stepping into the locker room and onto the ice today, what's kind of your takeaway on how ready this group is? And it seems like things are starting to really come together right at the right time for you guys, at least right before you leave.
Yeah, I mean, it felt pretty fast for me out there today. It seemed like guys were moving pretty good and shooting the puck pretty good. I mean, it's a good opportunity. It's a good opportunity for young guys that haven't played in the playoffs. Regardless of fans being in the stands, they'll see that the intensity will be ramped up a little bit, and it'll be a good experience for them. And you know, even veteran guys, you know, another chance at another cup. So you know, everyone's excited, it seems. And I think after a few weeks of skating, you know, it looks like guys are itching to get to the games here.
If you go by the timetable that Corey was describing, it leads you to believe that he was ready to report or was going to report to the Blackhawks, perhaps late on the week before that they started training camp on the 13th, I believe it was, Monday the 13th. And that's when he tested positive for the virus. And the Blackhawks, usually it's a 10-day quarantine that the medical experts suggest, but the Blackhawks took it an extra few days. So it was a full 2 weeks before he was allowed to return to action. But the most important thing is he was back out there on the ice. And as part of that scrimmage, he looked pretty good early, made a couple of decent saves on Nicholas Beaudin, and then David Kampf tried to jam a puck in at the goal mouth. Corey made those stops. Also did a pretty good job in interacting with his teammates, stick handling the puck, passing it to them from behind the net. But over the course of the last 7 or 8 minutes of the scrimmage, some of the rust was evident as he allowed 3 goals in that particular sequence. First one, by the way, was from Brent Seabrook, who we are going to hear from in just a short while here on the Blackhawks Crazy podcast. Seabrook, with a wrister from the slot, through some traffic that fooled Corey, and was able to get the puck past him. And then on a semi-breakaway, Brandon Hagel decided to go forehand, backhand, and beat Corey there. And number 50 was beat one more time before his 20-minute session was done. So all in all, a little bit of rust when all was said and done. But nevertheless, the fact is he was back out on the ice. And afterwards, head coach Jeremy Colliton provided his impressions of having his 2-time Stanley Cup winner from the blue paint back with the team.
Yeah, it's great to have him out there. Guys are all happy to see him, and we got right in the nets. So got some work in with Jimmy, so that's positive, and we'll get him ready. I mean, great to get him on the ice. It's first day back. That's just the biggest thing, feeling the puck and getting comfortable and getting his game legs back. So not gonna critique things on day one here, but you know, we don't have a lot of time, so that we do have some urgency, but he knows that, and he's been through it before as far as trying to come back off an injury and get right in. So we'll keep going on that process. Obviously, he's his track record and his highest level is, it's a big lift for our team to have him back in the group. And you know, we just got to take it day by day. We've been doing that in the past year, the past couple of weeks, not knowing and what was going to happen as far as us getting him back. And now the challenge is every day to do what we can to prepare him to be ready. And we don't need to make that decision right now.
As we look at the week ahead, the Blackhawks will board a plane for Edmonton on Sunday morning and then practice out there once they arrive and get situated in the bubble. They will have Monday off, but they do have rinks available during their off days where, if need be, they could use that. And if the Blackhawks so inclined, Corey Crawford could get a little bit of extra work in. But aside from Sunday's practice, even with an off day, the Blackhawks will practice Tuesday, have that exhibition game against the Blues that you will hear on WGNRadio.com 5:30 on Wednesday. And whether it's a case of Corey playing the entire game or they split some periods up in whatever manner that they do, that will be more exposure for Corey to get on the ice and get in some real game action. But they could also scrimmage as well on Thursday and Friday in practices there in Edmonton before opening their series against the Oilers next Saturday here on WGN Radio, a 2 o'clock start. So this gives Corey a full week of preparation and steam, if you will, if Jeremy Colleton, Jimmy Waite, and the Blackhawks staff are so inclined to throw him in the net at the very start. So I think he just barely hit that finish line in terms of a realistic timeline for getting himself back in playing shape and game day shape. So the hope is that Corey will not have any other hurdles to cross here, and he'll be ready to go. Now, taking a look at the Blackhawks health-wise, it's been an encouraging week for them after some question marks a little bit early on. Jonathan Toews missed a practice and a half, but he was able to finish the week with a couple of back-to-back workouts. Calvin DeHaan has been back after he initially reported practice on the first day coming off of that shoulder surgery, but then was missing for about a week due to a family emergency. He got himself back on the practice ice, really looked as good as ever, as a matter of fact, on his very first day in returning to full-scale practices. And Connor Murphy working his way back from what he admitted was a tweaked groin that occurred last week. Now, he got onto the ice three times before the Blackhawks finished things up on Saturday. That included Saturday, but he was not put in scrimmage action as they gradually bring him back from what is, a pretty dangerous injury for anybody, but particularly an NHL defenseman. The hope is that he can get back to full strength next Saturday and perhaps pair with Calvin DeHaan as a second defensive pairing behind Adam Boqvist and Duncan Keith. And you need all your parts working against a high-flying offense that features Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and those Edmonton Oilers. Now, a guy who is not back to 100%, at least in his mind, is Brent Seabrook. He met the media on Friday after he came to the decision that his body is not quite ready. He is extremely encouraged by the strides he has taken since undergoing three surgeries from late December to early February. The first one was on a shoulder injury that had been hampering him since back in his junior days. It kept getting put off and put off. As a matter of fact, that was on the exact same World Junior team that his now head coach Jeremy Colleton was on when Seabrook was a teammate of Jeremy's. They finally put off shoulder surgery for years and years, but he finally got it done in December. And then for what he thought was back and hip pain, it was basically both hips that needed surgery a couple of weeks apart. And he got that repair work done in January and early February that helped subside the back pain. And here in a very interesting give and take with reporters on Zoom on Friday afternoon, Brent was as open as he has ever been. He'd kind of shied away from the spotlight. Well, he always has during the course of his Blackhawks career, but particularly during the course of his rehab and this nearly 2 week training camp. He wanted to wait until he came to a final decision on whether he felt he was good to go, ready to go as part of the 31-man player traveling party going to Edmonton. But he felt, as encouraged as he is, he's not quite ready. And with only a finite number of bodies that have to last through however long any team's run is to the playoffs, he didn't want to risk not being ready in lieu of another guy who may serve the Blackhawks a little bit better if injury or illness should pop up. So here in a very interesting and a long-ranging exchange with reporters, you hear Brent first talk about his reasonings for deciding it's a little too soon for him, and he's setting his eyes on the 2021 training camp, whenever that may be.
No, my main focus was coming here to play and to see how I felt get up to speed as fast as I could. I just don't feel comfortable yet, as comfortable as I want to feel on the ice. And I think it's definitely coming, but looking back at it now, I think it was good for me to see where I'm at and see what I still have to work on and the things that I have to get better at and stronger with and continue to heal from to be ready for camp next year.
How disappointed are you by that fact? I mean, did you think it was realistic to play in this when you got out here last month?
Yeah, 100%. I wouldn't have been here if I didn't think I could play. Number one, I'm taking up a spot. Number two, I'm away from my family, for 2 weeks. I was talking to my wife last night. She was excited that I'm coming home, but also, she was preparing for the long haul. So, I came here prepared to play and make an impact and I'm excited with the way it went. I'm excited with the way I felt and I'm looking forward to training hard and figuring out the last few things that I need to figure out and be ready for next year. I mean, I want to come back and not just be a good player for the Blackhawks, but I want to be a great player in the league. I think I'm very capable of doing that. I've done it for a long time, and if I get an opportunity here to play, then I'm going to give this team everything I got, like I've always done.
Going back to the decision to have the surgeries, how aware were you that you were injured, and how difficult the decision was to even cut the season short and kind of address your body?
Well, my shoulder, yeah. It was hard to sleep for probably about 5 years. Sleeping was a challenge. My shoulder, I hurt my shoulder when I was 18 in the World Juniors, and I got a second opinion, actually, and Dr. Terry hooked me up with the doctor in Winnipeg, and he was my doctor when I hurt my shoulder in Winnipeg with the World Junior team. And then again, I hurt it my first year. Our decision was to strengthen it, and we could get good 10 good years out of it. That's what I did. And we ended up getting 15. I don't know how many of those were good, but we got 15 years out of it. And, it just progressively got worse. I mean, I haven't been able to throw a baseball or a football for a long time. Sleeping on it's been tough. We did an MRI and there was some issues that Dr. Terry could see. The alarming thing to me was there was two separate issues that he couldn't tell me if they needed to be fixed until he was in my shoulder. So I think that was alarming, and he ended up fixing one and leaving the other one alone. Just cleaning it up, and then with the hips, I've had trouble with my back for a long time. Getting out of bed, probably more information than you need, but trying to sit on the toilet, things like that. Playing with my kids was just hard to get on the ground, and that's been going on for 5 or 10 years, so. When we decided to do the shoulder, I asked him to fix my back if I'm going to miss the season. And he said, let's look at the hips first, and figured there was some stuff we could do to alleviate a lot of that pressure and that stress. I feel incredible. I feel like I've been able to get up out of bed. Like, it's been actually really weird the last 2 or 3 months when I get up out of bed. It's been my head a lot. Remembering how hard it was to do certain things and not having to do that anymore. So, I still catch myself not wanting to do something too quick because I still remember that. And now it's just been incredible. I mean, getting down and helping my kids out, tie their shoes has been nice. Tie my own shoes has been nice. Put on a sock, getting out of bed. So, I'm very happy with the decisions that I've made and couldn't have asked for a better surgeon and the help he's given me through this and the guidance. So it's been great.
I just wanted to get your reaction to the scratches earlier in the season. I know it's never easy for a young coach to scratch a veteran like yourself, and your reaction to that. And, did your relationship suffer a little bit with him short term? And now is it back to, being good? Just get your thoughts on those things.
Well, yeah, it's obviously disappointing when you get scratched. I don't think I was playing bad. I think I was playing well enough to play the games. And he obviously saw something in me that he didn't like. So I know what I can bring to this team. I know what I can bring to the ice. I still think that I'm one of the best defensemen in this locker room. And if given the chance and given the opportunities that some guys get, then I think that I would definitely be able to live up to those expectations and exceed them. I've done it my whole career. A lot of people want to make a lot of of my contract and my age, I think, if given the opportunity and feeling like a big part of the team on the ice, I think that you'll get everything I got. And I got lots left. I got lots left. So I'm excited to get healthy and feel the best that I can feel. I'm looking forward to camp next year.
Is this a turning point in your career about, you know, where you feel your place is here or in the NHL?
I don't know where my place is here with the Blackhawks. That's a question for Stan and Jeremy. As far as the NHL goes, I know that I can be an impact player on a hockey club. This time off has re-energized me to be better. I got a skating coach up in Canada. I've got a therapist there that I've been working with when I was home. I stayed in Chicago for 3 months during the whole shutdown to work with a couple people outside of the team that I thought were just incredible people, really cared about me. They were part of the journey to get me back and better than ever. And I heard that every day from them. So it was very positive and very exciting. And my wife has been incredible. She's supported me right through this, right from helping me go to the bathroom right after surgery to come into this camp. She's sitting at home with three kids and four dogs, and I'm here doing my thing. So I'm playing hockey next year. I'm excited to get out there and compete and show everybody that I still got lots left. That's a driving force behind my thought process the last, like, I don't know how many months it's been, I guess, since Christmas.
I want to ask you about Kirby. Maybe that'll help alleviate the tension. But what have you seen from him behind the scenes, and obviously living from him, especially the fact that he's come back? Really these last 4 months has had the first time in 18 months, he said, to kind of mentally and physically recharge. You know, what has caught out or what has stood out to you about his play at camp and also how he's preparing behind the scenes?
Well, the number one thing that stood out is I think he's been the best player in camp, but he can't beat me. So, I noticed Kirby, you know, throughout the season having flashes of brilliance and how good he could be. I think when you look at Kirby, you got to remember he's 18 years old when he came into the league. He was drafted. The Blackhawks did their thing with him, you know, the whole red carpet thing. And then we had a camp and then we had, you know, he left Chicago and he went to World Junior Camp for 3 weeks. And, you know, he got home for a week and saw his buddies and he was all excited. He probably had a party or two or something like that. He was just drafted third overall. And first time he probably saw his buddies, and then he got right shipped to Chicago and into a camp. And then he got hurt and he didn't have a training camp with us. I think you hear a lot more about it in the NFL and other sports, but when you miss camp, it's pretty tough. And especially for a young kid, especially for an 18-year-old kid that's trying to find his way, and I think, I don't know what game he played, but he sort of hopped into a game. Was it game 10 or whatever game it was? But, you know, I think coming in here, I skated with him a couple days before camp. He looked incredible. And then right from the first whistle from Jeremy, from the start of camp, he's looked awesome. He's looked fast. He's looked confident. I think that's the biggest thing that I've noticed from Kirby on the ice. He's always been a confident kid as long as I've known him. And to see that confidence sort of come over on the ice, he looks like he's shooting the puck better. He looks like he's skating better. He looks like he's holding onto the puck more, making some more plays. And he just looks confident up there. So I think nobody's mentioned, I mentored him all year. So, I should get some stars in the right column for that, but he's been good. He's got the potential to be a great player in this league and a great player for the Blackhawks for a long time.
Very interesting and very, if you will, almost defiant stuff from Brent Seabrook. As he said, he is very confident he is going to be able to become close to, if not the player that he once was during his glory time with the Blackhawks, during those three cup championships in 6 years where he was so instrumental. And you heard him in that exchange with reporters saying, yes, he was disappointed at the times he was scratched before deciding to end his season with those three surgeries, firmly believing that he was one of the six best defensemen the Blackhawks had in that room. And also very defiant in saying in these final 4 years he has left to run on his contract, and yeah, he hears the chirps and the criticism about the expense of his contract from here on out with the no-trade clause, that he will be an effective player for at least the next 4 years, and perhaps even cracking the door open to perhaps leaving the Blackhawks. Ideally, he wants to be a Blackhawks for his entire, a member of the Blackhawk organization for his entire career. But when he said it's up to Stan or Jeremy whether they think he can be the player that he once was, that seemed to indicate to me that he could be open to listening to perhaps being dealt to another team if that belief in Brent himself is not here. And perhaps another team in the NHL could have that kind of belief in order to swing a trade for him. But it's going to be a real interesting and fascinating whenever the Blackhawks 19-20-21 training camp commences, the competition that will be going to be taking place, because you have Calvin DeHaan and Duncan Keith and Connor Murphy as veterans. And if Olimata is not bought out, there's another body that will be brought back in there. Slater Cuckoo is a restricted free agent, and we haven't even scratched the surface on some of the kids who will be competing for jobs. Adam Boqvist is already here, as is Lucas Carlson. Nicholas Beaudin has continued to impress during this Phase 2 training camp in earning a trip to Edmonton after making his NHL debut on the final day before the season was paused in that victory over the San Jose Sharks. And on top of that, you have Ian Mitchell, who is expected to finally become a Blackhawk and make the team. And also another recent college signee, college free agent signee, Wyatt Kalinuk from the University of Wisconsin, who has impressed a whole lot and may be NHL ready as well. So the competition, including Brent Seabrook, is going to be fascinating whenever that 19-20-21 training camp will, of course, commence. And we hope that that all happens on schedule, as we all hope that the Stanley Cup playoffs will be able to begin a week from Saturday, 1 week from now, and also make its entire run so a Stanley Cup is rewarded and the world is in a place where, you know, they can take their break, get back to training camp perhaps in mid-November, and pick up the 19-20-21 season, what everyone thinks should be December 1st. But a whole lot has to happen between now and then, both with what we're facing here with this pandemic and also just getting through the rewarding of the Stanley Cup for this season in particular, and what's going to happen in both Edmonton and Toronto over the coming weeks. But we are so happy hockey is going to start again for real as the Blackhawks are on their way to Edmonton once again. The preseason game, or the exhibition game, I should say, against the St. Louis Blues coming up on Wednesday at 5:30 on WGNRadio.com. The call from John and Troy. And then game one of the series, the best of five, against the Edmonton Oilers coming up Saturday on WGN Radio. A 2 o'clock puck drop with John and Troy. I imagine we'll have a 1:30 pregame show for you as well. So thank you for listening to this edition of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. For my usual co-host, Joe Brandon, our producer, Curtis Koch, as well as the voice of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast, Ernie Skatton, we appreciate you listening, and we'll be in touch with you again on when we'll have a fresh edition, perhaps after that Saturday game against the Edmonton Oilers, when we get to exactly where the Blackhawks are after game one of that series. As they begin the qualifying round, we encourage you to follow us. I'm at @BowdenTweets. Joe is at @Joe_Brand, the number one, @Joe_Brand1. We also encourage you to subscribe to the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. It'll be there for you whenever one is ready. And you can also find it on WGNRadio.com. Once again, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend. And we'll talk to you soon as Blackhawks hockey is back.
How about that?
He's won it.
The Hawks win the Stanley Cup.
Thanks for listening to the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Tell a friend, subscribe, and join the conversation. And follow the guys on Twitter @BowdenTweets and @Joe_Brand1.
That was great.